We also want to welcome each one this evening to the house of the Lord. We've been richly blessed in these meetings so far. I, for one, have known Brother Allen for many years. I have worked with him in the physical world, and he has always been a testimony to me. Brother Allen is a man who lives what he preaches, and that touches my heart. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 22. And he rose up at night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Japheth. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for this day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, for thou par with God and with men, and hast provided." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Where is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the senet which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the senet that shrank. We have a living testimony of what happens when we allow God to touch our lives. And every one of us needs to come to that place in life where many times we realize our unworthiness and we humbly submit to the will of God. Let's kneel for prayer.
Tonight, we want to consider a familiar incident in the life of Jacob, and that is the account of his wrestling with the angel. At the onset, I want to state that some of the thoughts that I'll be sharing with you tonight are not original with me, but I have found them to be such a challenge to me that I wanted to share them with you. To summarize this account, bluntly, it is a story of God crippling a man. In the New Testament, we have the account of God blinding a man. Here, God crippled a man. And this is not the story of Jacob's triumph over God. This is primarily the story of God's triumph over Jacob. And the primary lesson to be learned from this account is that God cannot fully bless a person until he has conquered him. The value of this account will become apparent as we realize how much we can identify with Jacob in his struggle. Now, I want to remind ourselves, first of all, the story of this man up until this point. Jacob had been gone for 20 years because his brother Esau had vowed to kill him for cheating him out of his birthright and also the patriarchal blessing. Jacob had been living with his uncle Laban in Padan Aram. During those 20 years, he became a wealthy man, married two of Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel, and was blessed with 12 children, 11 sons and one daughter. Benjamin had not yet been born. But now, after spending 20 years as a fugitive away from home, he was returning to southern Palestine because God told him to return to the land of his fathers. In returning, however, he was aware of the fact that he would have to meet Esau. And the memory of the past filled him with great fear. Furthermore, the messenger sent out by Jacob to meet Esau returned and told Jacob that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. We read of how Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Jacob then took steps to meet Esau. Three things he did. He divided the people and the animals into two groups, reasoning that if Esau attacked one group, the other group might escape. He then prayed to God to be delivered out of the hand of Esau. And then he arranged presents on the installment plan for his brother Esau to go on before him so that he might appease him before he faced him. And this whole thing is an interesting account. Now, Jacob must have had a lot of animals. He only gave or offered to give a percent of what he owned. And there in the 14th and the 15th verse, we read of the presents that Jacob selected to give to his brother Esau. A drove of 220 goats, a drove of 220 sheep, a drove of 30 camels plus their young, a drove of 50 cattle, a drove of 30 donkeys. And he instructed his servants. He put one servant in charge of each drove, and he instructed them to leave a space between each one. And he told the servant that was leading the first drove, or he said, when you meet Esau, and Esau asks, what's this all about? Tell him that these are a present from your servant, Jacob, for my lord Esau. And then he told the second servant the same thing. I forgot to mention that he also told the first servant, tell Esau that your servant Jacob is behind. And so he instructed each servant what to say, and on down the line, hoping that by the time Esau got to him, he might be appeased and might be friendly toward him. I remember when I tried appeasement. It was at home growing up. Ken and I did something wrong one afternoon. I forget what it was. And I remember Mom saying, wait till Dad gets home. You know, I hate to be put on a waiting list like that. So my thought went to appeasement. And I think maybe Ken's did too. I forget what he did. But I remember what I selected to do. I chose to sit in the living room in a chair and read the Bible. Now, the chair I chose was positioned such that when Dad came in the front door, one of the first things he would see was me sitting there. Now, I forget if that worked as far as avoiding a punishment, but I do remember Dad remarking that he thought it was strange that in the afternoon I was sitting there reading the Bible. Well, Jacob sought to appease Esau. And after sending the presents on before him, we read of how Jacob spent the night in this camp. And that same night, Jacob sent across the stream Jabbok, his two wives, his two women servants, and his children, and he was left alone on the north side of that stream. And that which happened when he was there alone is the theme of our lesson tonight. It concerns the circumstances under which Jacob formally received his new name. Now, we want to notice three things about this encounter. First of all, Jacob wrestling with this man. Number two, Jacob seeking a blessing. And then number three, Jacob receiving the blessing. First of all, let's look at the wrestling match between this man and Jacob. In verse 24, we read that there wrestled a man with Jacob until the breaking of the day. Now, we need to keep in mind that this wrestling match was not started by Jacob, but rather by this mysterious stranger. Who did Jacob suppose it was who wrestled with him? I doubt if his first thought was, somebody has come to bless me. At first, perhaps Jacob thought it was Esau. Maybe he thought that Esau had taken a page out of his own book and snuck up behind him and wrestled with him. In any event, I believe that Jacob thought at first that he was wrestling with an enemy. I doubt if Jacob at first thought that he was a friend. Who was this man? In Hosea 12:4, this man is termed the angel of the covenant. I believe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, what Bible scholars refer to as a theophonic manifestation of the Lord. Probably the same one who appeared unto Abraham just before the destruction of Sodom. Also in Genesis 18:2, we read of three men who appeared to Abraham to announce that his wife was going to have a son. And then in verse 13, one of these men is spoken of as the Lord. And so here in Genesis 32, at the close of this struggle, we read of how Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." At some point during the night, Jacob comes to the realization that the one he is wrestling with is the Lord. And he says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Now we must remember that Jacob was not wrestling with this stranger to obtain a blessing. It is true that later Jacob was clinging to this man to obtain a blessing. But initially, this man wrestled with Jacob in order to gain something from him, and I believe that it was to reduce Jacob to a sense of his nothingness, to cause him to see what a poor, helpless creature he really was, and to teach him that power and blessing could only come by relying on one who was greater than himself. Up to this present time in Jacob's life, it seems fair to observe that he generally tended to rely on his own strength and ingenuity to get things done. Certainly, Jacob believed in God. After all, he prayed to God for protection from Esau. But I believe the prominent feature of his character was a strong reliance on himself. You see, God wanted to bring Jacob to the end of himself, and thus he stooped to the level of a man and wrestled with Jacob to bring into play all of his strength that it might express itself to the fullest, so that he might learn eventually his limit and his weakness. In verse 25, we read, "And when he, the angel, saw that he prevailed not against him," you see, Jacob was still struggling. He had not yet been brought to the end of himself until the angel touched the socket of his thigh and wrenched it out of joint. Now, the thigh is the pillar of a man's strength. When the thigh bone is out of joint, the man is disabled, pretty well helpless. Jacob now finds that this mysterious stranger has wrested from him by one touch all of his strength, and he can no longer stand alone. And he clings to the angel. And in that condition, he learns by experience what it really means to rely on one who is greater than himself. This is the turning point in this unusual drama. You see, Jacob's toughest battle was not with Esau. It was with God. And in our struggles to grow in the Christian life, we will often find that our toughest battles
are with God rather than the enemy. And I believe it's for this reason. God is out to change us from the inside out, to make us what he really wants us to be. I'm not denying the reality of spiritual warfare, but how often have we found it easier to say no to the devil rather than yes to God? One of the principal designs of our gracious Heavenly Father in the ordering of our path, in the appointing of our testings and trials, in the discipline of his love, is to bring us to the end of ourselves, to teach us to have no confidence in the flesh, that his strength might be perfected in our weakness. What started out as a wrestling match now has changed scenes, and we find Jacob clinging to this mysterious stranger. He realizes now how helpless he really is. Up until this time, Jacob pretty much had sought to order his own life, planning and scheming and devising. But now, he is helpless. In verse 26, the angel says, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Do you really think that the angel couldn't have gotten loose from the grasp of Jacob? I believe he could have. I think the angel was saying, "Let me go." But under his breath, he was saying, "I hope you don't. For if you hang on a little longer, you will receive the blessing and the power." You see, there was something that needed to precede the blessing. And that was a confession from the lips of Jacob. Now, Jacob answered the angel's request to let him go by stating, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Jacob realized now that his strength was not in himself, but in the one to whom he was clinging. And that thought is captured in the words of the hymn we sing, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee." We want to notice the tone of Jacob's voice as he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Now, it's not recorded here in Genesis 32 what the tone of his voice was. But if we turn to Hosea 12, verses 3 and 4, there we read how he said that phrase. And I want to read from the New American Standard Bible, and it reads like this. Speaking of Jacob, "In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his maturity he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor." It was not by tremendous courage that Jacob prevailed that day, but by the sob, the agony, and the utter sense of defeat. It was an appeal out of helplessness. He said it in a moment with tears when all the self-reliance of all those years gone before was breaking down. "I will not let thee go." And I believe that his voice was choked. "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." It was the last sob of a defeated man. And out of that hour of defeat, he rose into a greater strength than he had ever realized before. And that is how he prevailed with God. You see, it was victory through defeat. The angel then asked him, "What is thy name?" Do you really think the angel didn't know his name? I don't think the angel happened to be out walking one night and saw a man and thought, "This is a good guy to wrestle with." The angel knew who it was. You see, the angel wasn't asking for information. He was looking for a confession. You see, by stating his name, Jacob was actually declaring his true character. He said, "I'm a fraud. I'm a cheat. I'm a deceiver. I've been trying to order my own life." Jacob literally means he who catches by the heel, a fraud, a cheat, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. The same word that is there translated deceitful is the word for Jacob. In this moment of defeat and despair, Jacob was willing to confess who he really was in the depth of his soul. And as a result, he was now in a position to receive the blessing. Without that confession, I don't believe he would have received the blessing. You know, as I thought about that, I think often we're afraid to be honest with ourselves and really admit who we are in the depths of our soul. So often, we operate on the surface and we're afraid to go deep. But we can never be the person God wants us to be or to be blessed by God until we come to that place. Let's go on to consider number three, the blessing. Verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The name Israel literally means God masters, or God commands. The Hebrew names in the Old Testament that are compounded with El, El is God. God is always the doer of what the other part of the name means. Let me give you some examples. Hail means God liveth. Daniel means God judgeth. Gabriel means God is my strength. And Israel means God commands or God masters. Verse 28 is not teaching us that Jacob had struggled with God and prevailed over him, but rather that Jacob had been conquered by God. He was a God-mastered man. And as a result, he received the blessing and the power. He had power with God and with man. It was victory through defeat. We want to notice one other thing, and that is the limp that accompanied the blessing. Verse 31, and he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted or limped upon his thigh. I would like to imagine that next morning, everyone was waiting for Jacob to cross that stream. And suddenly someone says, there he comes. And as he walks, you realize that he's limping. And someone says, I wonder what happened to him last night. Maybe he twisted his ankle. And as he draws closer, you see that his clothes are messed up, dirty, torn. His hair is all disheveled. It looks like he's been in a terrible struggle. And he limps up, and someone asks, what happened to you last night? And he smiles, and he says, I got blessed last night. You got what? I got blessed last night. And as he limps away, you say to yourself, it doesn't look like someone who has been blessed to me. You know, they usually don't. They usually walk with a limp, something to remind them of their weakness and where their strength really lies. As God told the Apostle Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oswald Chambers once said, every element of our own self-reliance must be put to death by the power of God. The moment we recognize our complete weakness and our dependence upon Him will be the very moment that the Spirit of God will exhibit His power. And I think that's a good summary of what happened to Jacob in the account this evening. At this time, we want to sing a hymn of invitation. Tonight, the invitation will be open for anyone who has never made a decision for Jesus Christ.
or if anyone would have a desire to rededicate their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you realize that you've been trying to order your own life and you're not depending fully on God. And you want to be like Jacob and receive the blessing. We want to sing two verses of a hymn of invitation. This is God's invitation. We invite you to either stand or come forward as we sing. What number? 302. 302 in the Brother in Hymnal.